Kof Gimel Teves, Monday the 20th of January, Rabbi Mordechai Weiss, The Secret of Success.
As usual, I'd like to start off to thank everybody for giving me the opportunity to be part of this wonderful group. Started in the Torah way. This week's Parshas Vaero, we find probably one of the most peculiar Rashis in the whole of Hamishah Chumash Torah. Rashi says, in Pasuk V'ayru El Avruam El Yitzchak Ve'El Yaakov, what does Rashi say? V'ayru El Ho'ovos. That's the end of Rashi, full stop. What's Rashi saying? You know, does anyone not know that Avruam, Yitzchak and Yaakov were our Ovos? So Rashi has to explain V'ayru El Ho'ovos, Hashem. What's Rashi? Rashi doesn't generally write things for no reason. He usually wants to add something that we could learn from or explain something. What's Rashi adding here? So that'll be question number one. Question number two, I think there's a very, very strong question that one has to address when it comes to this week's parsha. This week's parsha we find Rabbeinu Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to go into Mitzrayim, go over to the Eden, and tell them that I'm going to take them out from Mitzrayim, and Ni Hashem, you're the famous four Lashonos, Yitzalti, V'lekachti, V'go'alti, and the last one's V'havaisi, is... my question is as follows. Why did the Rabbeinu Shalom have to send Moshe Rabbeinu to talk to the Eden? If he wants to take the Eden out of Mitzrayim, because the time has come to take them out of Mitzrayim, send Moshe Rabbeinu in order to take out the Eden. He first has to go and talk to them and explain to them, and afterwards we find in the Torah that they refused to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu, but they shom yal Moshe, they didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. What was this whole purpose of this whole dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Klal Yisroel? That'll be the next question. Now, you could have said that the reason is because he wants to give them a chance to do tshuva, to repent, and then they will have a schos to go out of Mitzrayim. That is not true, because we all know that the Eden were on the lowest of the lowest level. When they came to the Yam Suf, Yam Suf said, the Halud, the Sah Shal Yam said, he doesn't see why he should split the sea for them. He doesn't see any difference between them and the Mitzrayim. Haluli Oivda Vedezuri, Haluli Oivda Vedezuri. They were in the Memtes Sharekim, almost the lowest of the lowest. So they didn't do tshuva. So why is it, what was the purpose of telling them in advance that the Rebbeinu Shalom wants to take them out of Mitzrayim? And that brings us to the third question, which is, we find a very peculiar thing in next week's parsha, a very frightening thing. 80% of Klal Yisrael perished in Mitzrayim, in the Makas of Choshech, and they didn't go out. Rashi says, why? Because they were Rishuim. What do you mean they were Rishuim? Everyone was a Rishuim. All the Klal Yisrael were on a very low level. So Rashi says, because they didn't want to go out of Mitzrayim. Why? Is that a good enough reason to kill them? Because they don't want to go out of Mitzrayim? That also needs to be explained.
Say 80%,
yeah. 4 out of every 5 people were left in Mitzrayim, died in Mitzrayim. What the Chamushim Olu, that's right. And the fourth question is, what does a Pusik mean? V'leshomi al Moshe mikoyt tziriach ma'avoy lekushe. The Eden refused to listen to Mitzrayim. Mikoyt tziriach probably means shortness of breath. What do you mean? Mikoyt tziriach? Ma'avoy lekushe, because they were working too hard. And let's just imagine for a second that someone... as an inmate in the concentration camp in Auschwitz, and he's working terribly hard from morning to night, and then someone comes to him and tells him, no, tomorrow we are going to take you out, we're going to free you, we're going to release you, tomorrow you're going to go out of the Auschwitz camps, concentration camps. Do you think that there will be even one person, one sane person, who would say, I'm not going to listen to you because I'm working too hard, I'm too hard to listen to you? I mean, it's one thing if you tell them that you're going to give them more work, then I understand your problem. But it's on the contrary, you're telling them that you're going to take them out of Mitzrayim. What does that mean? V'leshomi al Moshe mikoy tziriach ma'avoy lekushe. That, I think, also needs to be addressed. And then the final question is, We see in those started after Yoimi last week, 2 weeks ago, the Gemara says that there's a mitzvah to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim twice, at least twice daily. And that's besides, there's no other time in history that's mentioned so many times throughout the week and throughout the year. Almost, there's hardly any mitzvahs that we do without mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim. We make Kiddush Friday night, we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. We put on Tefillin, we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. We make Pidyon HaBen, we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why is this Yetzias Mitzrayim so significant that it's mentioned so many times? And then I think the one final Nekidah is that we know that every Pusik in the Torah is something that we have to learn, something which applies to our life and something which we have to take out. Why is this incident, which happened many, many thousands of years ago, how is that relevant to our life and how could that change our life? The title of today's Shia was, What is the Secret to Success? The Secret to Success. I'd like to put that question down, to rephrase it differently. How come, it's a question which many, many, many people have been bothered by, and I don't think everyone has the right answer to this question. The question is, when we look around, the achievements that Klal Yisrael have done to the world, and I don't necessarily mean rochnistic achievements, I mean even in the world, the achievements that they have contributed to the world is something which is beyond parallel. We talk about the Nobel Prizes. I only looked up a long time ago. But then out of the 892 Nobel Prizes that have been given, 201 of them have been given to Klal Yisrael, to Yidden. Which means that we're talking about over 22.5% of the prizes have been given for them, for their contribution in scientific and doctors and all different types of... And we're talking about a population which is less than 0.2% of the world population. So we're talking not even a quarter of a percent. And then the percentage of Nobel Prizes that they've received is over 22.5%. And that's, just to put it in the contrast, the Arabs have gotten a grand total of 4 Nobel Prizes. I'm talking about some of the population of, 20-30% of the world population. So this is something which is a question which many, many people are bothered by and they just don't know the reason. And talk about in the world of tech, of high tech, I think Google's been made by a Jew, Facebook has been made by a Jew, Waze has been made by a Jew, all these major things have been were made by Jews. Now, what's behind all this? Now, the very common answer that people give to this question is because it's called the Yiddish Kop, the Jewish head, the Yidden Clever. I don't think that's necessarily the right answer because I wouldn't necessarily say that all Yidden are clever. I mean, there definitely are many, many clever Yidden. And then I think they say that the IQ of the Japanese or the Chinese, I think, is by far greater than the ones of the Eden. So that, I don't think that is the right answer. There is another answer, which is given by the previous tzaddikim, and that's already addressed by the Heilige Rishne Rebbe. Rishne Rebbe, Rebbe Strol of Rishne, he already addressed this question. And he said the answer to the question is as follows. The Ribbono Shel Olam put into every Yid something called an Neshama. An Neshama is something which has a tremendous desire to grow, tremendous aspirations to grow and to come closer to Hashem. It's ingrained in the DNA of the Neshama. The Neshama wants to come closer, wants to grow. He's never happy with what he has, and obviously that's a major present that Rebbe Shlomo put into the nature of this Neshama that he wants to become more and more. And the truth is, Neshama and Nefesh we always know is Melushin Rotzin. Yesh is Nafshechem. Nafshechem is a Neshama of Rotzin, which means someone who wants. The Neshama by default is something that wants. We have great Neshamas, which means we have extremely big wants. You'll almost never find a Yid who has a job of being a road cleaner, a garbage truck driver, and he's be happy with his position. Very, very, very rarely they will be happy with their position. Always they want to grow, they want to come to the next level. Now obviously those who use this nature when it comes to the Rochnias, have been coined the more Torah, more mitzvahs, and they use it for the good things. But then you have those who are not fortunate enough to use it for Rochnias, then the nature is still within them. So what they use this nature is to grow when it comes to Nyunim Finkashmias, and they want to become bigger and bigger, and become wealthier and wealthier, and make more money and more money. That's part of the nature, that's part of the DNA. That is probably the right answer to this question. Now there's two, I'd like to share with you two surveys, scientific surveys that have been done, which bring out this point. The secret to success is one and only thing, which is Rutzen, a desire. Someone who wants to get somewhere, that is the secret to success. The first scientific survey that they have done, is that never in the history has there been anyone, yeah, that has failed in achieving their goals unless for one of two reasons. Either because time up, either he died or whatever it is, you know, the time was up, or because he gave up in the middle. Besides for those two reasons, someone who was not time up and did not give up on his aspirations, every single time achieved their goal. There's no such thing. And the truth is, it's something which Chazal HaKadoshim tell us. Ein dova oimet befnei rutzen. Someone who wants something, someone who really wants something, is going to get it. That is going to happen, is going to get it. Now obviously sometimes it could be time is up and could be that he will give up. But if he's not going to give up and he's going to be consistent and he's going to continue wanting, he will eventually get to his goal. That's one survey that has been a scientific survey, which not necessarily from the Eden, but by the Goyim also. The second survey is that not, this we can't say 100%, but in most cases, talk about over 90% of the cases, almost never has there been a person who achieved more than his dreams, which means people very often live in their limitations. I heard this from someone who made this survey. He had a whole group of businessmen who were earning. He asked them, how much are you earning? So each one said, you know, I earn £500,000 a year. Other one said £1 million a year. He told each of them that how much do they think is the maximum their business could make throughout the year, and each one said how much he thinks. He told them all to honestly believe that the business could make at least four times the amount. And each one of them, they really have to truly and honestly believe it. And then he told them to come back after a year. They came back after a year, and each one of them had made not only double, but almost three times the amount of money they had made until then. He said, because the fact is, a person, whatever he dreams of, that's the limit of his world. A person will never, you know, in the olden days when they thought the world was flat, yeah, people were scared to go too far because they were scared they're going to fall down the cliff if they're going to get to the end of the world. Now, no one even tried going past wherever they thought was the end of the world because they were scared they're going to drop. So someone who, in his mind, he has created a limitation, his world finishes by £1 million, he's never going to be able to go past it. As soon as a person broadens his horizon, he broadens his dreams, then he's able to get a lot further. Those are the two surveys. Now, but there's an important thing to note. When we're talking about someone who has a roots and someone who wants something, it has to be a real one. It has to be a real roots. Now, everyone wants that. I also want to go to Florida to have enjoy a holiday. But I'm not going to say that until I've gone to Florida to sit there on the beach, my life is not comfortable. I'm not going to say that I'm uncomfortable every single day as long as I haven't got that thing. That's not a real want. A real want is something that someone honestly wants. Someone, he can't go by without it. Like, as long as I haven't got that thing, I'm simply not comfortable with my position that I'm at. That is considered a real want. Last, 2 weeks ago, we all know there was this big Siyum HaShas that in all over the world, people came together to celebrate the finishing of the Shas. Now, what I found so inspiring is that they had put out a whole bunch of videos. Yeah, and I think you can even see it online, see it in the website, in the siyum.org. I have a whole bunch of videos, hundreds of videos of people, of very, very simple people, people who came from a very, very simple background, a very limited background, and the people who had never learned in yeshiva, and people who the parents had, many of them were completely secular, the parents, and they decided from one day to the next that they want to take upon themselves to finish us. They really want to do it, and they're not going to give up on it. And they went and they pursued the wants day after day for 7.5 years, and they achieved the goal. Every single one of them achieved the goal. Now, there were many people, there were some people, as we said, time was up. There were other people who gave up in the middle. But if not for those two reasons, they all achieved the goal. They got to the end. And that was so inspiring to see such a thing, because it's inspiring for everyone. That everyone, anyone who really wants something could eventually achieve the goal. There's two things that stop the person from dreaming, that stop the person from wanting something. And the first and foremost is, the person measures his abilities. He thinks to himself, how much could I read? What are my abilities? And of course, that's based on his past, how much he achieved in the past. It's based on, you know, his kishroiness, all his tennis, everything he has, all his abilities. And based on that, that's how much he's going to put his dream. He's never generally going to dream something which he feels is beyond his capabilities, is beyond his ability. That's one major reason. And the second thing is people don't want to leave their comfort zone. People are very happy with the way the lifestyle goes. They don't want to go that extra bit. They very often feel it's going to be too much work for me. I don't want to, you know, put myself out there and have to do more than I'm used to doing and more than I'm comfortable doing. Those are the two things which stop a person from really broadening his dreams and broadening his horizons. And obviously, because he hasn't got those dreams, then he doesn't want it. And because he doesn't want it, Yitzhak is not going to achieve it. Now, what is the, what do you do in order to fight those two Yetzirahs? The thing is, the person, the answer to that is one answer. As long as a person thinks that he is going to be the one who's going to have to do all the work, and he is going to be the one who's going to achieve, then he's 100% right. And you can't dream more than you could do. But here's the mistake. Never ever does a person do anything in life. The person does not do anything in life. It's always, always going to be the Ribbono Shel Olam who does it 100% for him. All the person has to do is one thing. He has to really, honestly, genuinely want it, and the rest of the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to do it. And that's Chazal HaKadoshim tell it. Say it clearly, B'derech she'udam roitze leilech, moylich enoisoy. In the place, in the direction where the person wants to go, then the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to bring him there. Not the person is going to have to go there, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to bring him there. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to do everything for him. Because we all have a neshama, which is a chaylik al kamei mal. The neshama is part of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is without limit. He's an Ein Sof, he's without limit. So we could, our neshama has the ability to achieve levels which are completely beyond our limitations, our little minds that we think. And we have the Siyata Deshmaya because we are the Amanifcha, we are the chosen nation. We could get wherever we want to get. The Sfas Emes says a very powerful but at the same time frightening thing. He says when a person is going to come up to Shemaim after 120 years, so the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to punish him ever for what he did or what he didn't do. Because what we do and what we don't do, it's not us that's doing it anyway, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam that's doing it. He's going to punish us for one thing. Why didn't you want? Because that's the only thing which you could have done. The only thing which the person could do is want. Why did you not want? Why did he not want? Who stopped you from wanting? There's no one that could stop you from wanting. There could be people who could stop you from doing, but no one could stop you from wanting. That is everything. Anything, that's all we have to do is one and only thing, which is to want. Now, if a person wants to see how he could see this is scientifically proven, that person is never going to want something as long as he thinks it's up to him. I would suggest the following thing. You could try it out. Take out a piece of paper. And I'm talking, this could be in Rochnias and Gashmias. Everyone should think. Write down how much you think you yourself could do, let's say, within the coming year. How much do you think you could learn? How much do you think you could do in mitzvahs or when it comes even in business? You could do it. You could even do it in Gashmias, take things. Write it down. Now write down how much, write down something which you feel is completely beyond your capability. Like double that thing that you wrote on the paper, double that. Make it something which you think is completely a dream which is beyond your capabilities. Write that down on a little piece of paper. Now look on the first line, which is where you think you could get, and look on the second line. Write down from 1 to 10, next to it, how much do you really want it? Yeah, you're going to notice an interesting thing. The first line, which is talking about the part that you feel is within your reach, you quite badly want it. You want it quite badly. You probably say you can give probably a 7 or 8 out of 10. Whereas the second line, which is talking about something which is a dream, which is beyond your dream, it's going to be probably between 1 or 2. Because people don't want things which they feel is beyond, completely beyond them. Now, I don't really want to become the Prime Minister of England or the President of America. Now, because I think it's completely beyond me. There's no way I could get this. I don't really want it. And I'm not interested in having it, to tell you the honest truth. But I don't want it. Now, think for a moment, try and be misbehaving for a moment, that this dream that I want to, well, I would like to be there, but I can't, I'm not going to be the one that's going to do it. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to be the one that's going to do it for me. Think, really honestly, believe it, that the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's going to take me there. Think about it for a few minutes, and then write again, from 1 to 10, how much do you want now? You'll see the numbers are going to go up. It's going to be probably about 3 or 4. And then think about it again and again and again. It's not going to be me that's going to be doing the job. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he's going to be doing all the work for me. And then note it again. You're going to see the numbers are slowly but surely going to go up. Because as soon as the person notices that it's not me that has to do the work, the Ribbono Shel Olam does all the work for me, and there's no one that can stop the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I have an Ashoma which is part of the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no limits to the sky. I could get to wherever I want to get. You'll see, slowly but surely, you're going to start wanting it. And as soon as you want it, then no one could stop you. Pharaoh was the king of Mitzrayim. What does the word Mitzrayim mean? Mitzrayim means border, limitations. That was Mitzrayim. He wanted one and only thing. He wanted to crush the Klal Yisrael. He didn't like the fact that Klal Yisrael were the Amah Nifcha, they were the chosen nation. They are the ones who are close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they have the ability to get wherever they want. He wanted to crush that. He wanted to put in the Yidden's head that you are limited. You are plain and simple slaves. That's all you are. And he, because he knew that as soon as the Yidden are going to start believing in themselves that they are simple folk, that they are simple servants, they're never going to want to become something big. And therefore they're going to stay slaves for their entire life. And this is truth is, all through the generations, you know, as long as they have the slave trade, yeah, people have the black slaves. Almost never in the history has there been when people have these, they had thousands and millions of these black slaves, and they never ever made a rebel. They never rebelled against their masters. How could it be? You had so many thousands of these black slaves. Why couldn't they just one day to the next stand up and start fighting the owners? The reason is very simple. Because in their mind, they were slaves. That was their identity. Their identity was, we're simple folk, we're slaves, we could never become big. So that it didn't even enter their mind to try and fight their masters, because that was their identity. That was what Pharaoh wanted to do to us. He wanted us to become Mitzrayim. He wanted us to become limited people. People that we should view ourselves as if we are simple, simple slaves. That's all that we are. That was what he wanted to do. When Rabbi Shloim said, I'm going to take out the Eden from Mitzrayim, they don't need to do any mitzvahs. They could be even on the lowest of the lowest level. They could be in the Memphis Sharatim. But one thing they need is, they need to have a rootsin. They need to want to come out of Mitzrayim. If they want to come out of Mitzrayim, then I'm going to take them out. But that is the first thing that they need. So that is the purpose of sending Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael. He told them, the Eden, you don't need to do anything, but one thing, you have to want to come out of Mitzrayim. That's what he told the Eden. And he told them that if you're going to think that the Eden obviously felt very down at the time. They felt that they were simple folk. They felt that they can't get big. They can't grow big. The Pusik says, could be this comes to represent these two things that we mentioned before. Koitzeriach means someone, simple translation, it means as a shortness of breath. But it could also be read as if someone has a shortness of aspirations. Riach means someone who wants a lot. He had a koitzeriach. He had a very short, very limited view, had very limited dreams. Because he viewed himself as a simple slave, so he didn't have big aspirations. He had very, very small and limited aspirations. And then the second thing is Ma'avodah Kosher. He thought, oy vei gevalt, it's going to be such hard work to get there. When Moshe Rabbeinu told the Klal Yisroel, don't you worry, this is not your job to do it. The Rebbein Shlomo is going to do it. The Pusik says afterwards, L'chayna moylev na Yisroel v'lekachtem Eschem Lila On, I'm going to take you. You are going to become my nation. The Sephora says, "Yisim Lila Lekim." As you're going to be my, Lekachtem Eschem Lila On. You're going to be my chosen nation. Therefore, I'm going to do everything for you. All you have to do is want, and I'm going to do it because once you are my chosen nation, I take care of you. Vidatem ki ani Hashem Hamoitzi Eschem, that takes you out. Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. Sivlos Mitzrayim is the Sfurim HaKadoshim say the Yidden became civilized, is the notion of sevel, someone who became used to something. They became used to Mitzrayim, to the limitations. And Moitzi Eschem, I'm going to take you out of your limitations because now I'm going to remind you that you are my chosen nation and you are mine. So that was the reason why 80% of Klal Yisrael were not fortunate enough to come out of Mitzrayim. Why? They didn't do more various than the other Eden, but one thing. They didn't have that roots and they didn't want to come out. They were happy to stay in the limitations. Someone who is happy to stay in the limitations will never ever grow. The key to success is you have to want. If you want, then I will take you out of the Mitzrayim. I think that could be what Rashi is trying to tell us in the first Rashi. V'ayru el Avroam el Yitzchak el Yaakov. What does Rashi say? V'ayru el ho'ovos. Sfurim HaKadoshim say, the word ovo comes from the Lushan of Rutzen. V'le ovo elekim. Hashem did not want. Ovois is the Lushan of Rutzen. The Rebbein Shloim, he revealed himself to the Ovos HaKadoshim. In what chis, what did they do, what that made them worthy of the Rebbein Shloim HaShuvas HaShchineh? One thing. V'ayru el ho'ovos. He revealed himself to the wants. They had wants, they had desires, they had aspirations. They wanted to grow, they wanted to become big. That was the reason why they were chosen. That was the reason why they were the Ovos HaKadoshim. And that is what Hashem is trying to tell us. Why am I sending you Moshe Rabbeinu to talk to Klal Yisrael? Because I want you to awaken within them the aspirations to grow. Because if they're not going to want to come out of Mitzrayim, there's no way I could take them out of Mitzrayim. I'd like to finish off with this final story that I saw that Rabbi Yankel Galinsky says. He writes in the Sefer as follows. Rabbi Yankel Galinsky, as we all know, he spent a long time in Siberia. He said as he was there, the Russians, he was there because he had done the great avair of learning Torah. He was sent to the Siberia camps. Together with him there were a whole group of generals from the Lithuanian army. So the Russians had conquered the Lithuanian army, and they sent, together with them along, they sent a whole group of generals, and you had, you know, the finance minister, and they had all these very, very important people. He sent them along, and they were all the same group together. So here you had this little boy from the Hadaka Yeshiva, a very little bocha, together with these very, once upon a time, famous generals, and they were all together. The only difference is, how did you know how important a person was once upon a time, depending on how much they crushed them? Someone who once upon a time was a big general, they made sure to torture them. So, of course, he said, his fate was a lot better off than the ones of those Lithuanian generals, because they got tortured and they got tuna's what, and he got, but since he was never in such a big position to start off with, they never really tortured him. And yeah, of course he didn't make any honey, but it was definitely better off than them. He said he used to wake up every single morning, he had to go out to work very, very early, they were woken up, he woke up very early, because he wanted to put on tefillin and he wanted to daven to Hashem. So he woke up very, very early, before the soldiers came to wake them up, he woke up. And he noticed, across the room from him, he had this big major general. He saw that every single day, the same time that he woke up, this general woke up the same time as him. And he sees this general waking up and looking around the room, making sure that no one sees. Of course, he wasn't afraid of this little bocha, this yankala, he wasn't afraid of him. And then he sees him going over to his bag, he had his rucksack, wherever he had his stuff inside, and he sees him taking out a uniform. He takes out a uniform of a general, and he puts it on himself, and all these medals and all these things, and he sees him standing, and all of a sudden puts his back straight, and he sees him making signs with his hands on his feet, and he just starts giving out orders and making all things and all the things. And then after a few minutes, he takes off his uniform, puts it back into his bag, and then he goes back into his barrack and pretends as if he's asleep. He found it very, very strange. He did it every single day, every single day. At some point, as they were walking to the labor, they had to cut off trees and then the Siberian forests. So as he's walking together, he mumbles over to this general and asks him, "Could I ask you a question?" He said, "Yes." Said, "What on earth are you doing every morning? You put on these things and you make these funny actions?" So this fellow looks at him and he says, "I will tell you. Once upon a time, I was a general. I was a general of a big, huge army of thousands upon thousands of officers and soldiers. They were all under my command. I gave out orders to do this and to do that, and everyone listened to my word. It says, the time came, the Russians conquered us, and they took me into Siberia, sent me off to Siberia. They want to crush my identity. They don't only want to torture me. They want to crush my identity. They want me to start believing that I'm a lowly servant. That's one thing I will never, ever let them do. My identity is always going to stay a general. That's going to be my identity, and I'm still hoping for the future that one day will come and I will come back to my previous place. So what I do every single morning is one and only thing. I remind myself, I am still a general. Even though at the moment I'm very limited, I now have to work, pretend as if I'm a slave, but that's not my true self. My true self is still a general. This is what the Russians wanted to do to Lithuanian generals. This is what the Germans, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, wanted to do to our fathers in the Holocaust. They wanted them to stop thinking that they are numbers. They put numbers on the arms. You are nothing. You are a gunish. You are a simple number. And this is what Paray wanted to do to us in Mitzrayim. And this is what that little Paray that each and every one of us has within us. We have a little Paray that wants us to start believing that we are limited. We have limitations. We are simple slaves, and we cannot grow and we cannot become bigger. He completely puts borders to our aspirations constantly. And that's one thing that we have to constantly remind ourselves. That is not true. We are the Am HaNefche. And that is why there's no other mitzvah in the Torah which is mentioned so many times as Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have to mention it at least twice daily and by almost every single mitzvah. We have to remind ourselves that HaMoitzi Ani Hashem, HaMoitzi Eschem Mitachas Tzivlis Mitzrayim. The Ribono Shel Olam takes us out of our limitations constantly. Our true identity is that we are the chosen nation. We are the Am HaNefche, and we have the ability to get, there's no limit to where we could get and to where we could achieve. The Ribono Shel Olam will finish off with Moedig words that the Shemesh Shmuel brings in the name of his father, the Avner Naizi. He says as follows. He says, "My father, Zuchayna Lebruche, said that if a person will have a real hishtokikus, a real want, a real desire to serve the Ribono Shel Olam, it is impossible that this person will end up in Gehenna. And if he will, for some funny reason, end up in Gehenna, then I promise," said Avner Naizi, "I promise that this want, this desire, will pull him out of there as fast as a bow and arrow, as fast as a bow and arrow. That's how fast he'll leave the Gehenna. This is what the koyach of having a true desire and a true want. The Rebbeinu Shalom should help that we should all be zoiche to leave our own Mitzrayim, and we should be zoiche to the Gehenna Shleime, the Kudev Mamash B'Mahari B'Mayni Umay.